Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Wake Up the Spirit. Thank you for joining me here today. My name is Celeste Elliott. I am host every Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern. No matter where you are, we broadcast at 10 a.m. Eastern. So if you're on the West Coast, you're up really early. And thank you for that. So I have two special co-hosts with me today. Of course, my original and favorite friend, Coffee, and my original and favorite human friend, Jen Shepherd. Jen, thank you for coming and being with us today.
Thank you.
So I know, kind of a funny intro, but
I just saw an old post of ours. It's like 6 years old. I can't even wrap my brain around it. It's been longer than that.
So. I think I've known you I met you just after I had moved here permanently to Lilydale. So 9 years?
Yeah.
If you can believe it. Yeah.
Crazy.
So... Yeah, so I'm just putting up the number if people want to call in. Our topic today is manifestation, and we're taking it from a slightly different point of view than what you usually hear, which is, of course, why you tune in, right? So good times. this stemmed from I was doing a talk for an organization that Jen runs called Bolts of Love, and you have a weekly church service, and sometimes I get to speak, which is always, you know, and when I can't, I try to tune in to be a part of it regardless, which is on Monday nights, correct?
Right, Monday at 8.
Great.
That's a Zoom only.
Yes.
Opportunity, right?
Yeah. it's cool because you get people from all over the world. You get Australians and.
People laying in their bed in Europe. It's 1 o'clock in the morning.
And they'll listen to the lecture and then they'll be like, okay, I'm going to sleep now.
Yeah.
It's awesome. So, you know, I much better than the call map, let me say, which is also good. I gave a talk, and I like to listen to the readings and different things that people have to talk about. And one of the things you said, you read something that I picked up on, and it was something I very much agreed with and kind of took to heart. And I was really, and I was thinking about it. And like 3 weeks later, I texted Jen because she's used to random texts from me that come out of nowhere. And it's like, by the way, you have to come on the show because I really want you to talk about blah, blah, blah. And she's like, I'll fit you in. So thank you. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you. I actually pulled up that little clip that you liked.
Oh, great.
It was by Olaya.
Right.
And she wrote The Invitation. She's written a lot. She's just absolutely amazing. But that particular clip was from Olaya Mountain Dreamer from The Invitation. Did you want me to read it for you?
Yeah, please. Go ahead.
Okay. It says, you cannot trade the courage needed to live every moment for immunity from life's sorrows. We may say we know this, but ours is the culture of the deal, making mind. From infancy, we have breathed in the belief that there is always a deal to be made, a bargain to be struck. Eventually, we believe if we do the right thing, if we are good enough, clever enough, sincere enough, work hard enough, we will be rewarded. There are different verses to this song. If you are sorry for your sins and try hard not to sin again, you will go to heaven. If you do your daily practice, clean up your diet, heal your inner child, ferret out your emotional issues, focus your intent, come into alignment with the world around you, hone your affirmations, find and listen to the voice of your higher self, you will be rewarded with vibrant health, abundant prosperity, loving relations, and inner peace. In other words, heaven. We know what we do and how we think affects the quality of our lives. Many things are clearly up to us, and many others are not. I can see no evidence that the universe works on a simple meritocratic system of cause and effect. Bad things happen to good people all the time. Monetary success does not come to some who do not do what they love, as well as to some who are unwilling or unable to see the harm they do to the planet or others. Illness and misfortune come to some who follow their soul's desire. Many great artists have been poor. Great teachers have lived in obscurity. My invitation, my challenge to you here, is to journey into a deeper intimacy with the world and your life without any promise of safety or guarantee of reward beyond the intrinsic value of full participation.
I thought that was important for such a variety of reasons. One, because we are sort of trained to believe that we live in a meritocracy in this world. Uh-huh. No matter where, what corner of, here's the oxymoron, what corner of the globe we live in. I don't know why that makes me giggle so much, but there you go. And I think that comes to a lot of victim blaming and shaming. Which makes me sad, you know, because, yeah. And it's not to say, don't do the work on yourself.
No, it's so important, but I think the work then becomes learning how we are compassionate in the moment and how we make choices in those very moments based on how to be more loving, compassionate, peaceful, you know, and bringing ourselves into ourselves. Exactly. And not trying to say, well, these are the things I need to get to, because really there's nothing to get to.
Exactly.
This is an experience, and we put all these, I don't know, goalposts, and goals are good.
Yeah.
But, you know, to say that this particular goal, we know we have dollars met, you know, it's just like, you know, here's your gold star, you've made it in life. And, you know, it's, you know, and if that were true, then people like Lex Luthor would have no money.
Or Scrooge McDuck, for that matter.
Yes.
I mean,
yes, seriously.
That was a fabulous analogy. Yeah, and there's that whole saying about it's the journey, not the destination.
And, it really, really is. There's an old quote from, I'm going to say the quote and then I'll come up with who wrote it.
Sure.
But it's that you don't go to the symphony for the ending.
Correct.
You know, you don't go to the symphony and just wait for the da-da at the end. The thing is it's the experience of the music. And there's so much of us that want to get to the ta-da that we forget about the rest of the symphony.
Yeah.
Alan Watts, that's who said it first.
Perfect. I mean, unless you're the guy who plays the triangle and you've been waiting your whole career for the solo.
Yeah. I can relate to that. In the Christmas music, my one son, he got to play the whip, the horse whip, and it was the end.
But his life did not end after that.
No.
You know?
No.
There's more to do. There's more to experience. And so for those of you who wanted to call in, and so, by the way, remind me, who was the first author that you read from?
Oriah Mountain Dreamer, and it was from the book The Invitation.
Perfect. And
she's written many. She's a poet. She's so great with words. but yet a lot of her work is based on her own discovery of compassion in the moment and learning how to do that and realizing that, you know, this is not an end game. So much of us, you know, we want that happy ending. We want to go to spirit and just have the great life review, you know. if we don't live the life, you know, there's not going to be anything to review.
Exactly. Yeah. And the second person was Alan
Watts.
I always want to call him Alan Waits, and that is not that is not correct. So just because somebody wrote in and was asking for that. So thank you. For those of you, if you have a question, please feel free to call in, and the number is 818-739-8818. Facebook's a little screwy with the comment section these days, where if you click on it to comment while you're live, it will pop up and start playing the video from the beginning and make a bunch of noise. So I'm just announcing it.
Okay.
But the call-in number is the same every week, so please feel free to put it on a Facebook account. It's all good. So this leads into a very interesting conversation, not only about, you know, victim blaming or holding yourself in contempt, because people do. They think, well, I got sick, so I must have some sort of failing. I should have done something differently.
That's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why.
How could you be a spiritual person and still get a head cold?
I know. Or, you know, something like cancer. Yeah. Or, you know, or why haven't you made the right choices to get rid of that?
Right.
You know, I know when my husband was diagnosed with cancer, there were a lot of really well-meaning people that put forth that kind of philosophy. So what did you do in your life to bring that on for yourself? It's like, what?
Yeah.
Does anybody really? I mean, that's like saying that Stephen Hawking chose to be in his wheelchair his entire life. You know, I'm sure the man would have got up and danced. And yet he had a full, productive life learning how to work with his body the way it is, you know. And that doesn't mean that somebody's sick. It's the same thing. You know, you didn't do something wrong, but what choices can you make to still be compassionate with that reality set that you're with then? And you're not a failure if you're not, quote, cured, you know, because the healing aspect is those choices, those compassionate choices. It's not the cure. And I think sometimes when we get to this, quote, spiritual place, we're still working with old dogmatic systems that say you have to have no sin in order to be a whole person.
Right.
You know, and then what is your definition of sin at that point? You know, is it you're bad and you did something wrong, or is it a recognition that we always learn?
Well, what's interesting too is if you, I have been told if you translate sin directly from the Greek, it just means, it's part of the human experience.
Which is every day, right? Which is every day.
Yeah. Patience.
Turn left instead of right.
Yeah, exactly. Patience and compassion, and those are two things, and empathy, and, you know, learning that for others, but learning that for ourselves is...
And when we're in that compassion moment, what are we really learning? Right. You know, I think when we...
Yeah.
And that's been so exasperated from, at least, especially the last year with people, you know, it's like, well, you're not agreeing with me, so I'm going to cut you out here and there. And yet to sit in that moment and to really listen, where is that person coming from, or to find yourself in them? Because the other thing with that, the manifestation, is if we recognize that we are the universe, right, then the universe is manifesting through us all the time.
Exactly.
We don't trying to get something from the universe.
Right.
We are the expressions of the universe. So the universe is the one manifesting the understanding of what love is. You know, so if we are the instruments of that, you know, and we recognize that. And then we bring ourselves back into that moment of recognizing that everybody else is doing that, even if they're conscious of it or not. Mm-hmm. You know, then we can have this breath moment. It's almost like, you know, you're not going to take your three-year-old and just, you know, throw them in the back room and not see them again because they have a tantrum. You recognize
no.
there's a reason for the tantrum. You know,
right.
you might not know what it is right away, but you try to settle yourself in to figure out why the tantrum is taking place. And I think we forget to do those things with ourselves when we're older
yeah.
and then with each other just on a day-to-day basis.
One of my favorite meditations that I try to take my students through is to understand the vibrational resonance of some of those concepts. Because all of the words that we spout are concepts, right? We talk
mm-hmm.
about love, but what does that mean to you? How do you feel it? Where do you feel it? And, you know, if you want to get existential, why do you feel it? But sometimes
yeah.
we don't need to go, you know, there in a meditation.
Exactly. So. But even the what are the aspects? Because,
yes.
well, you know the work of the HeartMath Institute.
Yes.
And they have discovered that when we say different words as aspects of love, our system reacts differently as well, because not all of us translate the word love in the same way.
Exactly.
But we might get closer to translating something like caring, compassion, peace in similar ways. And those are aspects of love,
mm-hmm.
you know, but maybe we can grasp, you know, more in our own system and share that and, you know, and work with it much more than something like, especially when you put unconditional in the front of it, because then it gets really big.
That, you know, the advanced meditation. Because I really feel like if you start with trying to understand it for yourself and in different facets, like you were talking about, and in different situations, and then understanding it, trying to help understand it with other people, that's a big challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And then understanding it unconditionally. This is, I think, why there's a good basis of the philosophy for reincarnation. So we have all of these different opportunities. And people believe that at a cellular level, cellular memory or something else, you know, but as a species, we're trying to evolve towards something more interesting, hopefully more gentle.
More gentle would be a good word.
Yeah. So.
Gentler.
Yeah.
I don't know. What's the right one?
Well,
sorry, my teacher yeah. kicked in.
I totally get it. Exactly. this is Jen is my random philosophy buddy, because she gets these texts from me or these phone calls from me that start in the middle of a conversation. That's like, hi, so I've been thinking about X, Y, and Z. What do you think about this? And then we explore it. So I'm very happy to have you as my philosophy buddy.
Mutual.
Yeah.
Mutual.
And of course, anybody who loves coffee as much as I do, you're great. You know, you're good in my book. So.
There you go.
And good morning to our friend Kim from Australia as well. So I know you can't see who's popping on the Facebook.
Yeah, I don't see what you see on the screen.
That's okay. So when it comes down to manifestation,
mm-hmm.
so the original precept that we were talking about here was something along the lines of it's not about pulling yourself into vibrational alignment to perfection. Did I paraphrase that correctly?
Yeah. So, even it's interesting to use the word vibration, because that's the one that a lot of people listen to Abraham Hicks, and that's the word used there. and that you get into that vibration. It's almost like you're on a record groove, you know, and you're flying on the disc, and you are able to, but the thing is, in that moment, you're realizing your connection to what you're already a part of, right? And I think sometimes we get ourselves in the way, and when we're in that groove, we want the ABCD. We want to feel better. We want a different house. We want to be able to travel. And yet, if we're in that connection, all it is, and we're flying with that, those things will open up, and we'll have the ability to make choices on it.
Right.
We don't have to, like, be a certain way to make it happen. So for me, it's more about opening yourself up to creating a space for choices.
Yeah.
That are good for your recognition and your travel and your symphony right now.
That makes sense to me.
That makes sense to me. Long time ago, I went to a manifestation workshop. This mm-hmm. is years and years ago. You know, and you did the board, and you put all your pictures on it, the vision board.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and, you know, you take it home, and you put it up, and, you know, and you make your little notes, and you do your affirmations, and, all, you know. The thing is, what I found with trying that exercise was there was this, like, blank space. It was almost like praying to win the lottery every week. You know, it's like, is that really going to happen if I put, you know, my stuff on the board and whatever? And is that, and again, and those, are those wants, or are those the expressions that our soul would like to experience? You know, I think we get our human wants in the way when we talk about manifestation. And it's really about, if we're going to use the word manifest, manifesting all our soul is willing to express or able to express in this reality.
Sometimes, because the study of manifestation can be as shallow as sort of looking at the world like a vending machine. I want.
Yeah.
it can be also an exercise in almost like choosing a mantra. This is what I want to create within myself and what I want to showcase to the world.
Yeah, which is great until I think, so our humanness, I think, or the way society is constructed gets in the way of that.
Yeah.
So I know, you know, some people don't feel like the manifestation happened unless they end up with a size 4 jean. You know, it's just, you know, it's that perception of what is necessary to be in that alignment.
I have a very funny, so when I was in grad school, I lived at a distance from where the majority of my classes were. And I would come I would drive because it was like 4 miles. If I had to bring my like portfolio and everything with, you know, 60 pounds of camera gear, it gets a little, that's a bit of a schlep, right? So yeah. I would drive, and there was very, very limited parking in that town. And so I would park in the parking garage, and there was always only like one spot available at the time when I would pull in there, because it was middle, like 2 o'clock, middle of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I would see my car parked in this particular spot, and I would try mm-hmm. to kind of, you know, I don't know if I was praying to the parking fairies or or if there's a particular god of parking, or I don't know, but I was trying, I would always try to do that. And then it happened that one day I got there, and the exact spot I wanted was an identical car to mine parked in that spot. And for it, so, you know, spirit's sense of humor to tell me, what what are you actually trying to do here?
what are we trying to do? I love that the example of the parking. I actually use it quite often. I don't know that, and I know this is a segue maybe off of manifestation, but I don't know that we pray to any parking fairy or angel or anything other than us feeling so connected in the moment that is our goal, and then we are able to find it because we have allowed ourselves to be in that stream of energy. And maybe that's the real trick of the quote manifestation, you know, that we allow ourselves to be in that stream to find it, to leave off the what's it need to look like, because yours looked like exactly what you had in your head, you know, but it wasn't what you wanted.
No, not at all. Miraculously, because there was never, ever, ever more than one park available in that garage at that time, even on the roof, there was another park available that day. So it was a very gentle, teasing, nudging moment for me where I just kind of sat up and went, oh, okay, there's something different about this. So... And with a fabulous sense of humor, I have to say.
Excellent sense of humor. I think we get those kind of signals all the time, and we either dismiss them or we lose track of how much we are in the mix of it. You know, we put God, even our spirit people, we put angels and guides so much as other. You know, and forgetting that we are part, again, we are all the universe. So, it's, you know, that we have this huge flowing connection all the time, and to recognize that all of that is working together, and, you know, and not to put ourselves totally separate, I think also helps when we're following those.
I think that would make a great blog post, Don't Other Your Guides.
There you go. You know, exactly. I mean, our soul, our connection is our first best guide.
Right.
Always.
Yeah.
You know, and so if we're talking about getting and flourishing all that we need to, I think sometimes we parcel that out too when we're talking about manifestations. Like, if I'm good enough, if I do A, B, C, D, if I follow all the steps, then this other, this guide, this angel, this whatever it is, will give me enough energy to get it, you know, and yet we're not other. We are all that is all at the same time.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. I just put the number up again, by the way, for people, 818-739-8818. So we have a question from someone, and they're asking, so with manifestation, is there anything with the GABA VO codes that seem to be trending, basically number codes to bring wealth, health, et cetera? Oh, that's interesting. I'm not aware of.
Number codes, like recognizing numbers or?
I would assume so. I'm actually not familiar with that terminology. So I'm hoping they will either call in.
Well, if we're talking about recognizing numbers, whatever we are geared toward, we're going to recognize as a way, as guideposts. So if numbers are your jam, you know, and I know I will recognize numbers here and there, especially patterns of numbers, astrology, colors, the way the traffic moves, the animals in your yard, you know, whatever it is that you recognize as the guidepost or the recognition, it doesn't have to, I mean, I guess that's part of my point also, is wherever you are drawn, that's where it is. It doesn't have to be one particular modality or dogmatic tradition or whatever. It's the full expression of how you are recognizing the signals around you, the universe, the earth, your own soul, and how you decode them in the moment. And nobody else, eat your dreams, all of it.
I think that the universe tries to be very consistent with us, that if they feel, I'm not trying to other the universe, but the universal consciousness. But yeah, it is. It's what you kind of pay attention to. And I know that our spirit people will use that very consistently.
You develop your own system with that, your own code, you know. Like I know there are certain number combinations that I recognize for me as being in that moment, or maybe I need to look at it again, or you know, but that's me. That's the other thing, since we are the universe, we are talking to us through that stuff. We are recognizing those signals and adjusting and choosing. You know, and it all comes down to choices. I don't know if that helps that person there.
I keep double checking, but yeah. Yeah, they're talking about specific numerical sequences, like 719481. 71 means to materialize your plans and thoughts. That's very interesting.
Yeah, there are books and websites and codes that translate some of those. Mm-hmm. You know, it's some of it based on one tradition, in other words, numerology, and then they have an angel tradition. You know, whatever you're led to.
Kabbalah.
Really.
There's all kinds of different traditions with that. That's quite true. So, because we're talking about manifestation, I think I would be remiss if I didn't bring up the work of somebody like Florence Scovel Shinn. Of course, she's sort of like the grandmother of the law of attraction. You had mentioned the Hicks, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you feel in your personal practice that affirmations or this sort of energy has helped you to, because I know it's personal to everyone.
Yeah,
and it's different.
It is. But it's what takes you into the energy yourself. So the affirmation itself is not the magic button. It's the feeling generated within you because of the use of the affirmation. So for some people, affirmations they're like the chance that, you know, they move you into that space of awareness, and that's great. Other people need to light the incense and watch the smoke. Other people need to listen to the singing bowls. Other people need to sit for 10 minutes and breathe or do the Wim Hof method or, you know, whatever it is, you know. So, yes, but it's the feeling that it generates. So I know, you know, I love Greg Braden's work, and he talks a lot about his travels, especially into the mountains of Tibet. And he recounts a story because he would go to these far-off places and ask these monks that are doing the chants and the incense and the gongs and whatever. And it's like, why do you do this all day long? And why do you set this atmosphere? And why is that your prayer? Mm-hmm. And the answer was, that's not the prayer. That's not the prayer at all. That sets the tone for our physicalness to move into the vibration of the prayer.
Oh.
So all these external things we do for ourselves, there's no, what I keep saying, there's no way around, because it really is what takes us as our human person, what we are particularly personally drawn to, and say, in your example, the affirmations, right? What takes us into that space so that we can even recognize the calling of our own soul and what it would like to express and manifest? Or call it the prayer. You know, it's all of those trappings, those, I'll call them rituals, because it doesn't matter what we pick. It's some kind of ritual.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? That it's the feeling that's generated within us. So if affirmations are your jam, and that brings you into that feeling,
I it's funny because the examples that you were setting, I was like, I started getting in my mind's eye the image of like a Tibetan monk, and then you went right into the example of it, and I was like, well, that's perfect, okay. And it saved me from making a joke about Gregorian monks. And thank you so much for tackling so many of these questions, because I know this is not the the easiest topic, I think, sometimes.
No, it's not, because I can tell you early, well, because I've known you so long. I know, you know, early on I was, like, going to be this person with this little room and have all these people lined up, and I was going to be the greatest healer ever, you know, and I was doing everything I could to manifest that. I had several, you know, everything was going, and yet I kept getting drawn to platform work, right?
Right.
Which just, you know, buzzes me out still on an anxiety level. But that's, for whatever reason, that's where my soul wanted to start to express, right? And then even doing talks like this, that was not in my will. I mean, not what I was manifesting, yeah? But when I set those specifics aside and asked to manifest what was necessary for fulfillment or the expression, then, you know, all these other things started happening, you know, talking, doing platform work, you know, teaching. And again, that wasn't what I was manifesting. That wasn't what my want was, my want. And yet that's what my soul was pushing to. And you can bug your soul out and say that's not what you wanted. I mean, you can totally choose not. But the resistance, I think, and the frustration we feel when it comes to manifesting, I think, comes from that when we don't release into, you know, what our talents that can really express and be, you know, in any given moment.
That, beautifully put. Very nice. Yeah. Sorry, I lost it. I'm toggling back and forth between pages. And there is a question about, from one of our viewers, is there an appropriate way to get into the right state to call in angels, and how do we do that? Is there a prayer or affirmation for angels? How do you choose which one to call in?
First, it's the idea of centering self and calming self. So no matter what you wish to name what you're calling on, you know, in this case, angels, the first practice is knowing how to be comfortable with your own body and feeling every molecule, every air, you know, your breath through your system, you know, and when you sit with that, when you sit and you be comfortable with your own body, then your body can recognize the rest. So that's the first part, you know, is being comfortable with you and what you can recognize with you, yourself. Does that make sense for us?
Yeah.
And then with your own breath, you can expand beyond that point into, you know, other recognitions. I don't know if this is okay, but on my YouTube channel, if you click the meditation playlist, there is a series of four that says awareness exercises and another series of four that says witness exercises. And when you travel through those four, the fourth one is the call upon or the recognition of an angel or a guide or a loved one. So if that helps, you know, there's to sit in those different essences.
Yeah. Well, and also I want to say, as far as choosing which one, I don't know that you necessarily have to set an intention for, it has to be John the Angel from, the South Coast,
sure.
You know, because who you need to show up and experience.
Yeah. So I have time for a quick example for angels.
Yeah.
My husband and I were in the doctor's office, and the doctor was saying it's time to sign up for hospice, right? And, you know, there's a bunch of things that happen emotionally at that point. And yet I was very, very aware of a presence behind the doctor offering, like, wisdom in the moment. That's what it felt like, wisdom in the moment. And I couldn't describe it, but I said to the doctor, every doctor needs a big ass angel standing behind them for this. I remember saying that. Right? But that feeling stuck with me so much that I actually sat down with Google when we got home later that night, and I just typed in what I was feeling at the time. And this picture, which embodied everything I was feeling, popped up on the screen, and it said Archangel Uriel. And underneath it said wisdom and times of strife, you know? So, and I didn't know anything, right?
Exactly.
But it was confirmation for me that I felt something, you know, that there was an extra recognition of what was needed in the moment. And then through Google, it got assigned, but it made sense. I mean, that angel name made sense.
Right.
So I think you're right. I don't know that we need to specifically call on, but we can recognize what's happening with us in the moment. And then if we need to, so I'm curious enough, I had to go find it, but we don't always need to go find it. We don't always need to put a name on it.
Right. Yeah. Perfect. and for those of us who are bad at remembering names anyway, that's very helpful. So kind of a tease there, but we do have a few minutes left. So first off, is there anything that you are, we mentioned that you have the church service on Mondays.
Monday night, if you go to boltsoflove.com, you can find the Web of Light service that's on Monday evenings. In person, there's a lot of stuff happening at Unity in Edinburgh. You can look up Unity in Edinburgh or Bolts of Love, and you'll be able to find all of that. Since COVID is starting to lighten up in this part of the world, there's lots and lots going on. We put a ton on the calendar to try to, because we're all craving us something. But there's a lot online as well.
Okay. so go look that up.
The Web of Light experience is neat because, again, like you said, there's stuff from all over the world. People from all over the world come, and we rotate. There's a group of us that just rotate responsibility for sharing, and it's really laid back. So group participation is encouraged.
Which is nice, especially, you know, not all churches are reopened, you know, and you might be in Brisbane or London or somewhere in Peru, and it's, you know, you feel more community with who's online at that moment than who's down the street. And
exactly.
So there's lots of ways to get that. So for those of you who are aware of Lilydale Assembly, which is where I'm broadcasting out of, do go and check the lilydaleassembly.org website. There are online classes and events. Wednesdays, the healing service is online from the Healing Temple, and that broadcasts every day in the summer. And check out the other Lilydale Blog Talk Radio Mondays, Media Mondays at noon with Sharon Hill, Tuesdays Embracing Your Essence with Colleen Vanderzijden at 8 p.m., Wednesdays with Willa at 10 a.m. on Wednesdays. Of course, I'm here every Thursday for Wake Up to Spirit, and Fridays we have at noon conversations with Angie and friends, spiritual conversations, I should say. So there's lots going on, and I have my classes on Friday evenings, so you can check out my website, CelesteElliott.com, and I think that's it.
Thank you so much, Celeste. This was fun.
Thank you. Thank you for coming on, and for the rest of you, I will continue checking comments and questions and things on the site, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. So. Until next time, everybody, wishing you a good day and good vibes.
Thanks.